Morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. Excited to be with you all this morning. Thank you, worship team. That was lovely. It was powerful. Well, I was going to start with prayer, but Joy did that, so we're going to jump right in. And I have a question. I'm wondering, can you think of a time where you had to have courage? You know, that feeling that maybe you are stepping into or you're going to have to do something that's scary. And that moment of time, that spark that comes inside of you that gives you the strength to move forward despite what might happen. I think of just simple things, right? So like Oliver, sometimes we go to the gym and sometimes he's scared to go into the child's room for whatever reason. But he says, I'm scared. And I tell him, you can be brave like Marshall, Paw Patrol. Be brave like Chase. Be brave and have courage. And sometimes it doesn't always go smoothly, but oftentimes eventually he does go in and he has the time of his life and he loves it. And so sometimes it's simple, right? Those moments, that memory, a simple time of courage. But sometimes it's big. These big moments where we've had to have courage. And so I want you to take a minute and I want you to grab hold of a memory. Allow yourself to seep into that moment in time. Because I want us to carry it alongside us as we walk through our passage this morning. This morning we're going to be in Mark 14, and we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 9, and it reads, "While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, 'Why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor.' And they scolded her. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Now, before we continue, I want to give you some cat's facts that can help you all as we go into just some contextual facts that can help us understand a little bit about what's happening in this passage. The first is, it was actually fairly typical for dinner guests to be anointed. So the anointing part wasn't unusual. They would come and they would be anointed. The thing that made it different was the alabaster jar. This alabaster jar that was filled with costly oil, and in this case, it was spikenard. And spikenard was typically used, like it said in the passage, for burial. And it was very expensive. Now, this alabaster jar was often passed down from generation to generation to generation. Others that I read said that this jar would actually, how big it was or how much was in it or what type of oil was inside, could show the wealth of a family. So it wasn't just like a jar of olive oil that she like cracked open, you know? Like this was a prized possession. This is something that would have been treasured. And not to mention, it was like she cracked it open, and once she cracked it open, though she might have tried to seal it again, the oil would have lost its like fragrance. It's like cracking open a bottle of wine. You can put the cork back in, but eventually it's going to go bad because you've taken out what's sealing in to keep the flavor. So she cracks this alabaster jar and she pours it over Jesus. So she's done all of this. And it's very like, it's a very large demonstration in front of a bunch of people, in front of a group of men. And, you know, typically the other part of it is culturally women probably would not have been present at this festival or at this feast, at this time of meal. But we actually, M. Eugene Boring writes that while it violated cultural conventions for a woman to intrude into a men's festive meal, the objection is not to her gender, but to her extravagance. The extravagance of taking the costly oil in the alabaster jar, of breaking the seal and pouring it over Jesus. So now that we have some pieces of background, some cat's facts that can help us understand the passage a little bit better, I want us to go back and I want you to grab hold of that moment of courage that we thought of earlier. Take time if you want to close your eyes and let it seep in, but let that feeling of courage truly wash over you. And as you let it wash over you, I'm going to reread the passage. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. And truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Wow. As I was preparing the sermon, I did that. I read it first, and then I thought of a moment of courage, and I reread it, and all of a sudden, it came to life. That beautiful act of worship, that despite what people would think, that despite walking into that space, knowing the jar that she held, knowing the action that she was going to do, despite that, she still had courage, and she broke open the alabaster jar, and she poured it on Jesus. Courage is defined as the ability to do something that frightens one. It's also defined as the mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. So I have to imagine that this woman had this idea that she was going to get pushed back. And when I pictured this scene, thinking of what courage is, I pictured shaking hands. And maybe like a little bit of trepidation. Maybe even as she like approached with the jar, she like paused. Like, have you ever done that where you've like approached something and you're like, are we going to do it? Are we going to do it? Like, I have to imagine there was some hesitancy that she experienced. And then she walked in, and her hands might have been shaking as she broke the seal and she poured the ointment. And maybe she wasn't making eye contact with anyone else in the room, but looking solely at Jesus, because that was the spark. Because honoring Jesus, that was worth the courage of breaking the seal. That was worth the courage of stepping into the space. That was worth the courage of anointing him in this way. He was worth it. That moment was worth it. And she did it. And it's because of the courage that Jesus not only tells those who scold her to stop, but then he goes on to declare that her actions would be remembered. Not only was she said, hey, not only did they say, like, leave her alone, but then he said, because of what she has done for me, this will be told. This will go on from generation to generation to generation. Wow. Like, that's huge. Because, you know, they didn't have the Bible like we have. It was a lot of oral tradition. That was what was passed down. So Jesus is declaring in front of these people that this story matters, that this moment is important, that this woman's courage is something to be acknowledged. I wonder, how have you experienced Jesus in your moments of courage? Where do you see Jesus in that moment that you've thought of? How is he interacting with your courage? Now, courage isn't easy, right? Like, it's really easy for me to stand up here and be like, courage! Have courage! But it's not easy. Courage is hard. Courage is scary. I mean, we just sang a song of, like, Spirit, lead me where my feet, like, I'm going to get it all wrong because it's not in front of me, but, like, where you have no borders. You're saying, lead me somewhere where I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know. I don't have the answers. I don't know what pushback I'm going to receive. I don't know what ridicule I'm going to encounter. It's hard. Courage is hard. I think of I thought of the Cowardly Lion from The Wizard of Oz. And he's off and he's seeking out his courage. And he did it, right? He goes on the Yellow Brick Road and there's plenty of opportunities for him to, like, whoop, turn around. But he had his other group. He had his group of, they were all searching for something. And sometimes the way that we have courage is we are surrounded by people who can help us, who can help us stay on the Yellow Brick Road as we head forward into whatever it might be. Sometimes, like the woman with the alabaster jar, courage might be something that we're doing on our own. We're having courage for our individual self, and what our eyes are fixed on is what allows everything else to fade away. So sometimes, at least, there might be moments where we're looking to friends because those are the people that are going to support us. But then other times, we might be looking straight ahead because we're looking at Jesus, and with our eyes on him, everything else can fade away, and we can have courage to take that step. We can have courage to say, yeah, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but you know what? I believe it's going to be worth it. And we can have courage to say, I don't know where even this very moment in time and how this is going to turn out, but I have faith that this will be worth it. I often think of courage as someone or like having this moment where you start swimming upstream. Like you're going against what tradition or what society or what even the people around you would say because it looks kind of odd. I imagine as we are thinking through that moment of courage that came to mind earlier, that it probably was us doing something that didn't make sense to those around us. Yeah, I know many of you know that Jacob and I got married after knowing each other for 11 months. Like, I mean, start to finish. To the outside world, we looked a little insane. And honestly, we probably both would tell you we were. But it was worth it. It didn't make sense. And to be fair, I don't know if it totally made sense to us. But I knew that this was the person I wanted to do life with. And that with God at the center, we were going to do it. And that was enough for me to take this step. That was enough for me to say yes. And it wasn't easy. And it didn't mean that the voices stopped. And it didn't mean that opinions just shut off. We were swimming upstream. Man, it's been worth it. And we kept our eyes on each other. We kept our eyes on God. And because of that, eventually, we started listening to the different voices that were encouraging, that were standing behind us, that were standing beside us. We've talked a lot about the voices that we listen to. And the voices that we listen to can really affect whether or not we walk forward in courage or we step out of it. Where our eyes are fixed can really play a role in where we go. And for this woman, this example of courage, with her shaking hands and her jar of oil, she stepped forward, she broke the seal, and she poured it on Jesus with her eyes fixed. And when the voices came, we don't know how she responded. And maybe she didn't even have a moment to, because Jesus honored her courage. Jesus saw her. Can you relate? Can you relate to that moment? When you think of your moment of courage, was it worth it? And what made it worth it? What was the spark? When I look out into this room, and even as I was writing this sermon, I thought of you all, because you are some of the most courageous people I've ever known. You sit here on Sunday mornings with courage. I see a group of people who have made the choice to be a part of a community. And not just saying that we'll show up on Sunday mornings, but like truly doing life together, which has opened you up to vulnerability, to rejection. And yet you have stepped forward. And One Church, man, I learned so much from the courage that you have. That some Sundays when you feel like you're dragging, you still have the courage to wake up and walk through those doors and be here. The courage that I've seen is you guys have not only stood with those who are marginalized and outside, but have stood by each other, that have been able to say like, hey, you might not have it, but I'll have it for you, and we'll do this together. That takes courage. I look around and I see so many people who have given voices to those who feel like they don't have one, who have been willing to step into what's uncomfortable, have been willing to stay when it would have been a lot easier to leave. You all are so courageous. Just sitting in here, just standing right now, you are courageous. And I'm honored to know you all. You are just like the woman who decided that her love for Jesus ran so deep that it gave her the courage to continue to walk forward. And I see that in this community, that this love, this desire, it runs so deep that no matter what might come, because we've had our ups and downs, and no matter what might come, it's worth walking forward. That our love for Jesus and our love for each other is enough to show up. I wonder, is Jesus inviting you into a space of courage even today? Is there something stirring inside of you where a simple yes, which isn't simple, right? Because it's scary. But where the yes is the first step. That spark will come. Where is Jesus meeting you? Where is Jesus asking you to step forward and courage. You know, just like the woman, Jesus honors your courage. He honors our courage. And I imagine that when the voices rise up and those things fight against us that make us want to stop and swim the right direction instead of the opposite, when those voices come up, I imagine that Jesus is saying, leave them alone. Why? Why do you bother them? Like, leave Stephanie alone. Why do you bother her? Leave Joshua alone. Why do you bother him? For they have done a beautiful thing to me, for me. I have to imagine that Jesus stands next to us the exact same way he stood next to this woman. Like, he is saying, leave my children alone. Let them have courage. This step, this action, these things that you guys are doing day in and day out, this courage that you possess, Jesus honors it. He celebrates it. Wow. How cool. Like, it just wipes me out. It means something. And when those doubts come up, because let's be real, they will. Right? Every U-turn that's going to present ourselves, when we step into moments of courage, the U-turns seem to grow. The moments where we can say, never mind. Opportunities present itself. These moments to turn around become louder and louder, but hold on to the spark. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who is fighting with you. Who is saying, this moment, this step is so worth it. Come here. Because I'm going to tell the voices to leave you alone. Because what you're walking into is honoring to me, and it is beautiful. One church, you are beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. The courage that is in every single one of you is beautiful into the eyes of the Lord, and it is celebrated. Jesus didn't try to fit this woman in a box. She came in truly, fully herself and worshiped Jesus by cracking open the alabaster jar and pouring it on him. So what's your alabaster jar? What is God inviting you into where you can crack open a dream, crack open a yes, and pour out the contents with courage? So that we can celebrate. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you so much for your grace, for the goodness that overwhelms us, for the fact that you honor our courage. You see us, every single one of us, God. You see every yes. You see every shaking hand, trembling feet, all of the things that we might be feeling, God, the knots in our stomachs. You see, you feel, you know. And yet, you support. And with our eyes fixed solely on you, God, I pray over whatever invitations are in this space. The invitations of courage that are coming forth, God, I just pray blessing over them. That in moments of doubt, that we would remember that you are standing with us, saying, "Leave my child alone." Why do you trouble them? God, I thank you for every person that is in this space this morning who showed up today despite what might have been they might have been feeling or encountering. God, we just thank you for every moment where we said yes, for these moments of courage, and we pray over the moments that will come. In your name I pray. Amen.